Welcome to the Roundtable. This is episode 82. I'm Jenny Walker, the social media ministry leader here at Life Church. And this is Mike Hill. He is our pastor. And sitting next to me is Shawnee Young.
Nope.
Shanny.
I've been calling you Shawnee this whole entire time.
You really called her Shawnee?
Yes, I have.
I get that all the time.
Do you? Okay, I messed you up with your picture, which I don't know why you have your sisters like that on your Facebook. It confused me.
What happened?
Remember, I told
you. I know you messed it up, but what do you mean? What's on her Facebook?
Well, I picked a picture off of her Facebook, but okay. I kind of went back a while.
Last year.
And was that last year? And I went on the ones that she posted.
Do you know what her sister's name is?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what is it?
Well, hold on. You're putting me on the spot. Give me the first letter. First letter.
We just talked about it.
Natasha.
We just talked about it. They don't look alike. Yes, they do.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay, see, I don't think so either.
No.
That's because of you. Because I look like my sister. I don't think I do. I think they do.
Yeah.
We get confused for each other.
People think you look
alike. Oh my gosh, all the time, especially at church.
Really?
Okay, when she got baptized, like the week before that, I was in the Adulting 101 class with a guy. I don't even know his name, but I think he's one of the leaders with Travis.
Okay.
And we come out of service that day and he's like, "Hey, congratulations." I'm like, "I didn't get baptized." So I had like three people do that.
Really?
Then at one of the worship outside the summer, the concert things at somebody's house, I was there with my cousin and... Mary and Clark's.
Lance. I was drawing a blank. Lance and Mary.
Like, see, they waved to think on the spot.
They wave and like I didn't think anything of it. And then we had to leave early to go pick up my cousin's son. And Lance texts Mike, Natasha's husband.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, you were something like you were there and then you were gone. I didn't get to say hi." And Mike was like, "No, we weren't there." He's like, "Yeah, I seen Tasha." And then they were like, "No, it's not her." So Mary, who Tasha meets with weekly for like a year now, even thought that it was that I was Tasha.
Oh my gosh.
And then
I don't see it at all.
Lance's mom comes up to me another week at church and she's like, "I loved your testimony, your baptism." And I'm like, "It wasn't me."
Do you just go along with it ever?
Sometimes out in public I do, and Tasha gets really mad at me because I'm not a talker. Like I can just wave at somebody and be done. Like I don't have to stop and talk where she can talk for hours. And she says that like I'm giving her a bad name because I'm kind of rude to people. Like I'll just wave and keep going. But I don't want to stop and explain like I'm not Natasha and I'm thinking that's who you think I am, you know, but you know, we get it all the time. So I wanted to see if Tasha wanted to get on like the hospitality team and, see if she wanted to like greet at the front door and then I'll greet at the same one and like wear the same outfit and have people be like,
"That would be amazing."
Is she going to do it?
I don't know. She's like, not sure, but I'm like, you just need to do it a couple of times.
Well,
if
she's
a talker, she would be perfect at the front door.
She would. Yeah.
Maybe now sitting like really close to you, I probably will be able to tell the difference, but I think from like, just like looking at you, like walking by or just like, not like, I mean, we've talked before, but like, I think it's different. I don't know. They look so much alike.
No, I don't see it either. Like, I mean, I can tell we're sisters, but I don't know.
Yeah. You can tell they're from the same family, but I don't think they look anything alike.
Well, my bad.
Here's a question. What episode are we on?
82.
Okay. So when we get to like 100, can we change the music?
We can. We actually have some sound that we might want to use, but
I keep listening to that. I'm like, come on,
we gotta
be cooler than that.
That is cool. I like that sound.
How's it go? I don't know.
Neither.
We have like something that just seems more like us.
Well, there is, unless they used it for a different podcast.
Okay.
Then that's the one.
Nope.
No?
Yeah.
It's rock. It's kind of like rocky.
Yeah. Like we're not the nah, people. We're like the and then we're like blowing on the little, you know, like the things that people, like bluegrass.
Oh, okay.
You know, kind of a mix between
we can
rock,
make our own.
Bluegrass.
We can make our own.
Huh?
We can make our own.
That probably wouldn't work.
Probably not, but it'd be really good. It'd be funny.
Well, unless you want to hear my singing voice.
I do.
You really don't want to hear my singing voice. Well, you're going to if we ever do karaoke.
I know.
Because I am doing karaoke.
Oh, me too.
Would you?
No, I want to come. I want to watch, but no, mine. I'm so bad. It's well, like
everybody's
no.
bad.
Yeah,
no, it's like karaoke. Extra bad.
How many times do you see somebody like, "Wow, I found the talent at the karaoke bar"?
I'm so bad. No.
That's your time to shine to be bad.
Nope.
Yeah, and everybody's bad, so you just let it go.
Mm-hmm. No, it's super bad.
Me too.
They used to have it at the cafe, so every Friday night they would have karaoke.
We're trying to start that back up, like in the event group, whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you should be karaoke night on Friday nights when we come in.
That would be so fun. Chicken fry?
Yeah, that was my song. I'd sing every time.
I think you literally meant it was a chicken fry. Like people had chicken. was the thing.
I mean, I can't remember how the song goes, but.
Chicken fry.
Do you know how it goes?
No, I've never.
Like on a Friday night? Yeah. Pair of jeans and they fit just right.
Yeah. That country song?
Country song, yeah.
Yeah.
Nope, that's all I know.
Yeah, when they're like 8 seconds on a bowl called something.
No.
Right?
Huh? Fu Manchu.
Fu Manchu.
Is
that the name?
8 seconds on a bowl name. Fu Manchu. Yeah, so like that's the part you really get into.
Okay.
Okay, Shani, tell us about you. What's going on in your life right now? What are you super excited
right
about?
Now,
what are you reading? What do you watch? Do you watch TV?
I am not a TV watcher except at night. I am a Hallmark movie watcher.
Yes, because, I did see you post something like that.
What?
Yes, because I already know what's going to happen. And so it's not dramatic and it puts me to sleep. So I have to put Hallmark on every night and that's what I go to sleep
with. Because you've watched so many of them?
No, because it can be a brand new one and they all have the same plot.
They do.
So
they
it's
all
like
have
I don't.
The same plot?
They do.
Everyone
has
the plot.
Love.
Yeah, but I am also, it's funny because I hate love stories. Like I've never seen The Notebook or like I just can't stand a love story. But yeah, it's like more comedy love. But the same plot is all the time, like a city girl goes to a little country town, falls in love with the country boy, or vice versa, and they break up or they, you know, something gets mixed up. Like they think one doesn't like each other for like 3 minutes out of the movie, but then they get back together and then it ends.
So is this like your story? Are you the country girl and Buddy was the city guy?
No, you know what? It's so funny because I don't know who I am really. Like, no, I don't.
What do you mean? That's a really big question.
No, my identity is in Christ. Yes. So I'm righteous and holy.
Right.
But no, like a part of me wishes that I could go and live like in 3 or 4 different places for 3 months at a time to figure out like, who am I really? Because a part of me thinks that I am a city girl. Like I like going to New York and I would like to live downtown, the hustle and bustle, you know, the fast pace, but I would have to have an unlimited amount of money to live there to be happy.
Oh, absolutely.
But at the same time, I think you could throw me like out in Montana. I could be a farmer. I think I could have a garden and I wouldn't need the necessities that I feel like I need now.
Mm-hmm.
But then I kind of want to go and like live on the beach. That's been my dream my whole life until I'm
to live on the beach.
Yes.
Like you live on the beach half a year, don't you?
Not on the beach.
Okay.
You know, not on the beach.
Like the walk out backyard.
Oh, yes.
That'd be so nice.
And that's where I thought I was going to live. Like by now I thought I was going to have a house on the beach. Until when you get my age, your skin gets yuck. And so you don't want the sun to like,
whatever.
So then I'm like, no,
what
that's
happens?
Not. Like, you know, you just start getting wrinkly and old and you're like, you can't be in the sun like you used to be when you were young. So that slashes that out. Then I think that I want to live in a cabin like in Colorado. So like, I don't know who.
What's Buddy want?
Yeah.
Is he the country guy?
Yeah. He's the country guy.
Yeah.
Country
so he's Montana, Colorado.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the way. Homesteading, garden.
No, that would be me. I love that now. Never thought I would have, like, I want to learn how to can. I don't know how to do that.
Wow.
I've tried to garden. I did not have a green thumb.
What was your experience? You put out a garden and it didn't grow?
Several times, yeah.
This
time I like spent like $400 on this. Probably it's just the size of this. It wasn't very big. And I took so much time in it. And I think I only got a few zucchinis. a few tomatoes. Like, no, I didn't get.
Because you did it in a like a raised platform?
Not this time. I've tried that before too.
Oh.
Like, I don't know.
Is that different? A raised platform as opposed to like in the ground? Is it better?
I don't know. I've tried it all.
Because again, like from a natural, like as an example, you know how people sell tomato plants in pots?
No.
So
done that too.
So a tomato plant doesn't grow near as good in a pot as it does when it's in the ground.
Okay.
You know, because it can't get as far and the true nutrients.
Oh, okay. I get it.
You know, so you try to grow them in the pots or you do raised beds,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's only the nutrients in what you have in there. So depending on.
Well, I put 400 pounds of cow manure in my trunk and I did it all myself. You know, I did all everything. Yes. And
does that come in a bag or what?
I got it in a bag.
I'm like, whoa.
I did. I mean, I was.
Who put it in a bag? Where do you get cow manure?
Huntington Nursery. I don't know.
They sell it?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, it's the new thing. So like the guy, so Midwest Poultry, who owns all these chicken barns and stuff, had realized that they got people who want to do gardens that instead of like just getting a garden, like normal.
Soil.
So normal gardening, you would, after your year's over, you take manure, right? And you put it on top of your garden and then you let it all.
So like, I should do that now?
Yeah. So that
next year.
Yeah. So the idea
is. So I did it opposite.
Yeah. Yes. So the idea is over the, after you harvest everything, the soil needs nutrients again. And so you put the manure in and then that manure like melts.
That's so sick.
To a certain extent into the soil. And then when you till it all up, then you have all of that tilled up ready to go, you know, for when you plant again, like it's redone the nutrients in the soil. So anyway, so that like people buy chicken manure or whatever, or like normal back in the day when you had a farm, you would just, when the garden's done, our job would be is you go out and to the pile and you plow up the garden and you cover it with straw manure and you'd leave that straw manure there. And then you go and till that all up because it's composted into the ground, right? With the nutrients.
So those are the nutrients.
I'm wondering about the zucchini that I ate.
Exactly.
I didn't think about that.
Well, because probably cow poop
I
in
didn't
it.
Let it like mix in with the dirt. I just kind of laid it on top and planted my...
Oh, not the manure.
Yeah. And I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So then, so now the idea is more people are trying to do that instead of having like a real garden, but a garden that's, you know, in the dirt that you do it that way. So they're,
I mean, I did do it in the dirt too.
Yeah.
I mean, we got a tiller and we tilled all that up and then, but I didn't till up the manure and I set that on top.
Either way. So they're doing pelletized. So they're taking all the chicken manure that was going on all the ground for like farmers would buy it. So they would put it on their ground after they harvest their crops and they're pelletizing it because they can sell it for so much more money, you know, that way than they can in big bulk things, because a lot of people going back to gardening and want to do it pelletized instead of just getting the big old blob of manure on.
What an easy job. What? You just have some cows, watch them poop, let it like pile up and go give it to somebody. Like a business or something. That would be,
Well, like again, Chris Steffen comes and gets all of our dry manure.
How does that happen? Do you scoop it up and put it
in a dump truck? And then he takes the dump truck and dumps it in his field. I think this last time he took 86 loads, dump truck loads.
Oh, wow. Where do you put all that?
Like, I know.
We have a dry stack barn and a place to pile it all up. And
so when you're doing them individually, are you throwing them in something like sell by, or not sells, but.
So what people are doing in the, like that you buy from there is they compost it. Cause it's not like, it was like black.
Yeah.
Right. So it's ground
it
up,
wasn't stinky
composted.
And stuff.
Oh, it wasn't?
Yeah.
So.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's not like, I guess I shouldn't say it's not like real manure, but it's not like you just went out to the
100%.
And got
ingredients.
Like as an example, they'll tell you go out and get horse manure. Like it's the best, you know, to put on your garden or rabbits. Like if you have rabbits, like you people used to raise rabbits for meat and manure. That's what you put on, you know, because those are the two best ones you can put on your garden.
Gardening 101.
But either way, you trying to find yourself in between all of that.
Yeah. I just don't know.
Buddy just wants you to be a country girl.
I mean, he doesn't care. Like, he doesn't care what I'm going to be, but I don't know. I just want to like take a year and I don't know, and live in all these
hiatus,
places.
That sounds real nice.
So, you're not watching TV. So you don't watch a lot of TV.
I don't watch a lot of TV. Okay. I do read, but I start reading like 3 books at once. So it takes me a year to finish them.
Oh my gosh.
And why is that? Like, I'm trying to figure that out. For other people say that.
I get really bored really easy. Like I get really excited about one subject.
Okay.
And like I dive into it. And then something in that subject might spark something else that I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I need to find out more about this before I can finish this. I think I do.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
So can you say like, here is a subject over the past however many years that I got super excited about and dove into? What's a subject you get super excited about?
Probably there's several.
What about right now?
Right now would be spiritual warfare. And ooh. Yeah. But I mean, that's something I've always been interested in, and in time stuff. Love that. And prayer and fasting. Those are probably my three like main things that I'm very, very much in love
okay,
with.
Okay. So let's just pick one of them. So let's pick one of them and tell okay. us like, did you read when you read books? What did you find? What drew you to that passion? Like why prayer yeah. and fasting? Why spiritual warfare? Why, what was the other one?
End time stuff.
End times. Like why those out of everything else that you could get excited about?
I don't know. I guess. Okay. I think it would start with the spiritual stuff, the spiritual warfare or the spiritual realm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think ever since I was young, I could always, I don't want to sound like new agey, but I could like feel no. spirits,
yes.
you know,
yeah.
what?
Like feel spirits in different places. Every place that I went on vacation, I can feel them. I can feel a difference in what's going on there. But it took me several years to kind of determine which spirits they were over which regions, kind of. I know it sounds kind of weird, but I'm
no,
not
it
like,
doesn't. No, see, we need to talk
I'm
about
really
this.
I'm really interested. Okay. I'm really excited.
So you gotta elaborate.
Yes, you do.
Everybody that's out there that's listening would be like, what?
I know. I think
like,
it's so cool.
Spirits over regions. What are you talking about? Like, so just give us some examples.
Yeah.
Started out when I was young, probably okay. Early teens, I could just go around, say a group of friends, and I would just feel, I guess what you'd say their energy.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I could feel different things. And like, I knew I could feel the Holy Spirit at the time. I didn't know it was like him right. speaking to me, like, this is not where you should be, or this is not who you should be hanging out with. And then if it would be just a certain house I would go in or just anywhere I'd go, I could just feel different things. Not all the time, right. but most of the time. And I just thought like every Christian could feel that. Like, I didn't know that that was kind of like a gift. Uh-huh. I thought it was just, you're a Christian and you have the Holy Spirit. So you know that you can feel that. And then when I figured out like, oh no, this is more of like a gift of discerning of the spirits. Then I kind of went deeper into understanding that. That's probably okay. where that sparked that interest.
When did you figure that out?
That it was like a gift?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, probably not long ago, 10 years ago, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so can you play it out at all for us? Like, so you mm-hmm. say you have the spirit of discernment or the spirit of discerning or, spirits.
Yeah.
Piece of it. I don't know. I don't, like, I'm not a pro at it. I don't.
No, that's not what I'm trying to say. Like, yeah. I'm just trying to help people get a picture of how does somebody, because again, spiritual gifts mm-hmm. are used to edify the body of Christ, right? So that's the whole idea, is that God gives us gifts. What he says in scripture is to edify the body. So how does that play out for somebody who has the spiritual gift of discernment or spiritual gift of discerning spirits or...
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's so, I want to say it comes so natural that I can't pick out like a moment really. Mm-hmm. Maybe like when my kids were younger and like they'd bring a friend over, I could automatically tell them like, no, this, I can't give you a reason. I can't explain it, but I know you're not supposed to be with, the, you know, hang out with this person or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it would, like my daughter, especially, she would always come to me maybe a year later, maybe months later. And she's like, oh my gosh, mom, you were right.
Right.
Da, 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 da. Or it used to be really bad. Like, several years ago before I really understood it, like when me and buddy would go on vacations, it got to the point that sometimes I wouldn't even want, like there were several years I wouldn't even go on vacation again, because when I would go to a different place, I would feel, I didn't know what it was at the time. Like, I knew it was spiritual, but I didn't know that, I didn't know they had a name or, uh-huh. or something, but, I couldn't even enjoy myself because it almost like takes, over my body, over my senses, and it causes anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so when buddy would want to go on vacation, I'd just be like stressed out about it. Mm-hmm. And I remember, this was probably maybe 3 years ago. I don't know. We went to a Tyson Fury fight in Las Vegas, and on the way there,
yes,
his eyes got real
Tyson
big.
Tyson Fury.
Yeah. On the way, or several days before that, I was, cause we've been to Vegas several times and I do not like it because of what I feel yeah. out there. And I was so stressed. And so I thought, okay, how am I going to deal with this? I started just like immersing myself in worship and in the word. And like several days before I left, then on the plane, I took my Bible. I downloaded different sermons, I just, the whole couple hours on the plane, I just stayed in the word of God somehow, some way. Cause I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do when I get out here. Because it was like, I was getting more sensitive to the spirits at that time, a few years ago. And so when we landed, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't feel anything. And I was like, okay. So then we're walking through the airport. Same thing. I was like, I feel fine. Like, thank you. Cause I prayed about it. I'm like, God, please, I don't want to like make buddy irritable when I'm out there not wanting to do anything. Cause I get, he doesn't understand it at all. So I just kind of get quiet and I don't even have fun because I'm so like nervous on the inside because I can't explain to anybody the way that I'm feeling. And, so the next morning I get up early and I'm reading the Bible while he's still sleeping. And our hotel was like over the strip and it was windows, all over it. And I'm reading it and I'm like, God, what is going on? Why do I not feel anything? Like, have I complained so much about this gift that you took it from me? Like, no, I mean, like I'm having a real conversation. Like, I don't understand. And I just heard him as plain as day saying, no, it's time to explain to you what the spirits are out here. And he was like, it's a spirit of lust. And I was like, well, that's a given. I mean, that you anybody can know that. And then he went on to explain it further. I mean, this is just like, I didn't hear him audibly, but it was just like, I knew it was a conversation as I'm sitting there and he was explaining, of course, sexual lust, but lust for fame, lust for like all these different things. And I was like, oh my goodness. And then he started telling me like different vacations he was bringing up to my, in my memory of like when I went to DC, like that was the same thing. Like I felt like at this heaviness, I couldn't enjoy it out there. And he was explaining like, how it was more of a spirit of power out there. And like, LA was like, he just kind of went through different things. And then I was, I don't know. I think that's when I finally realized like, oh, it's a gift that not everybody has. And I went, started going deeper in it. I don't know. I don't know if that explains it.
No, again, so inside of that, so the idea that you would, that he revealed it, so that helped with your anxiety?
It did.
Now that you say, okay, I went there.
And now I understand like, it's a, I feel like I have to pray really hard for different places and people that I meet. Like, okay, this is really cool. Tasha and I, my sister, we went on a vacation last month to New York for her 40th birthday. And as we were on our way to the airport, I told her, I'm like, let's turn on the radio. We got to pray over our vacation. And I prayed specifically that God would give us like God ordained, appointed, anointed moments out there with people that I could make, we could make a difference in their life. And he did like daily. But the biggest thing that happened out there was we were on our way to go have dinner and we was walking through Times Square and I looked down and there's a guy dead on the corner. And I, but it took me a second to realize like, is he sleeping? Is he dead? And then I just kept watching him. And then I realized like he's dead and he was young. He probably was in his, he wasn't, he was ODing. Okay. But okay, I didn't know I was, that at the moment.
Like, okay, I get it.
Until.
I got that part.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I can relate with that.
My sister, she grabs my arm and she's like, oh my gosh, Andy, we got to pray. And then I realized this guy that was on the phone to 911, he was trying to explain, we need ambulance here. So as I'm looking at him, first of all, if you would have told me this was going to happen before I went out there, I'd been like, I'm totally ready for this. I've been waiting for the day that I can lay hands on somebody. I can pray. I'm going to raise them from the dead. Yeah. I'm going to do all this stuff. When I was put in that moment, I sucked. I blew it. I was a mess.
Well, have you ever seen somebody dead?
I've seen dead people, but not in the process. Now.
Exactly. No. So that's
not in the process.
That's
of
alarming.
Dying.
Yeah. So
because you were preparing for like, I'm going to lay hands on him. He's going to be raised from the dead.
Yeah. Like before this, if like you would have told me this was going to happen.
Yeah.
But at this moment I had like, I don't know how to explain it. Like different tabs of my brain, like opening, it must be like ADD.
Yeah.
And I'll open all at one time. So I have this, it was kind of like, I want to say my spirit man was automatically praying. It just went into boom, started praying. But it was, I felt like I was praying generically, if that makes sense. Like I wasn't. Anyway, like I had my spirit praying. Then I had my sister talking to this lady that just, I don't know, she came out of nowhere. And she was like, don't, when Tasha said, Shannon, we got to pray. She's like, don't bother praying. I work up at this building and I see this happen like weekly. Don't bother praying. But yet she was so nice. She's probably one of the nicest people I've ever met. And I'm looking at her. I'm seeing this guy. I'm seeing the guy on the phone. Like everything is, this is Times Square. So it's so jam-packed and busy. And then I'm thinking to myself, okay, I've got to go lay hands on him. I've got to pray. And then I'm like, I'm embarrassed. Never thought I would have been embarrassed or ashamed ever. I would have bet money that I'm never going to be embarrassed of God. I was embarrassed. I was like, no, there's so many people. But what I was embarrassed of was I heard myself saying, but Shani, what if you lay hands and your faith isn't enough and he does, nothing happens and people around you are looking at you and being like, I don't want to serve that God because she has faith in her God and he's doing nothing. So I have like all these thoughts, you know, and still this lady, I'm listening to her and I'm trying to listen to her and Tasha's conversation. And I'm like in and out of it. I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to touch the guy. Then he starts to puke. So the puke kind of goes everywhere.
That's a good sign. That is puking. That's a good sign. Roll him on his side.
So, okay. Well, I didn't.
Next time you roll him on his side so they don't choke to death.
So I push my sister out of the way because I'm like, we can't get this on us, you know? So then I'm like, I can't go down and lay hands on him. I don't want his puke on me. I don't know what he has. Okay. So then all these thoughts are going through my mind. So I'm still looking at him. And sorry, I keep touching this. It's all making noises. So then I'm still praying in the back of my mind. And then he starts to puke again. Now, this seems like it's 20 minutes, but it's probably like five minutes.
Yeah.
He starts to puke, but not staying in his mouth. So then I know that we've got to get to him. So before any of us can say anything, myself, my sister, and this girl, we all just run to him, push him over. So now my hands are on him. My sister's hands are on him. Like, and we both are just praying. And the lady is trying to take control of the situation. She was, oh my gosh, she was just awesome. There was kids walking by and they're like, oh, is he dead? What's going on? And she's like, no, buddy, he's fine. You go have a good time. He fell off his bike. And she's just super like.
Because she's probably used to it.
Yeah, she's used to it. And she's also trying to make everybody, I think, comfortable and like, let me take care of it. Cause she already said, I've called 911. Tasha explained that we're here on vacation for my birthday. And she's like, you girls just go on. I'll take care of this. You have a good time. Don't let this, you know, ruin your trip and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I can't leave this. You know, he's probably the age of my daughter or something. I cannot leave him. I've got to make sure that he's okay. And, so in the meantime, the ambulance comes, they take care of him and we make sure that he had a few little belongings, like a backpack, a speaker.
Yeah.
Like this is his stuff or whatever. So we, the lady though, she gives us her card and she's like, here, this is my side business. If you guys need anything at all while you're in town, please don't hesitate to call, whatever. And I'm like, just really taken back by her. She's different. Like, she's gay first of all. So, she was very, I don't know if I should say this because I don't want people to think like I'm racist. What is weird is while we were getting dressed in the hotel that night to go to dinner, everything that I put on, I look like I don't want people to think that I'm mean because I have gay friends and family, but I look like a dyke. And I'm like, so I'm looking in the mirror and I'm like,
I wasn't expecting you to say that.
So
wait a second.
I don't know, Mike. Shani, I don't know how.
There's no way.
I promise I did because
when you were looking in some other mirror. There's no way anybody would look at you and be like, oh yeah, she put on clothes and look like a dyke.
No. So my sister isn't paying attention. You know, she's getting herself done. And then I bring that to her attention. I'm like, because I tried on like three outfits and she looks at me and she's like, oh my God, you do. She's like, try on my clothes. So I put her clothes on and I'm like, okay, I'm just rolling with it tonight, but I'm putting on a t-shirt with a Bible verse on it. Like maybe that'll throw the dykiness away, you know? So remember that I look like this and this lady is dressed like that too. And I think I got her attention in the beginning.
I know where this is going.
I feel like this is not like
the Hallmark story.
I feel like it's not.
Oh yeah, Shani's kind of cute.
Okay, but dykes usually don't like other dykes.
Then she liked Tasha, so I was her friend. I don't know. Tasha looked feminine. Okay, so maybe we just had a mutual like connection, during all this. Okay, so she gives us her card or whatever, and like I we leave and we actually run into her one other time, which was kind of weird.
In New York?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was the same evening, so it wasn't weird. It was like still like just in the same area.
Yeah.
Okay, so we go on about our night, which that runner and I, we didn't even go to dinner. We were done for the night.
Yeah.
But I had such a burden for this girl for days, turned into like a week. Like every day I kept thinking about her and I'd pray, ask the Holy Spirit, like, take over my fingers. I've got to text her. I don't know what to say. I don't want to be like a Jesus freak and push her into something because obviously she's not a believer. She doesn't want us to pray.
Right.
So I waited like a week. I went ahead and started texting her and I just explained to her, like explained who I was. And I said, I just need to let you know that I seen Jesus in you, whether you're a believer or not, he used you to let me see how I want people to see me. You were so kind. And I kind of went through the fruits of the spirit kind of and told her.
This is all in a text message?
Yeah.
Dude.
So
it's a long one.
She's a long texter. I like it.
I am too.
I love it.
I can be. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that opened up some good conversation between her and I. She didn't ask anything about God or anything like that, but still. I'm believing for it. Okay. So we talked a little bit back and forth and I left it open because I was like, don't think I'm crazy or a stalker if I just randomly text you, if I think about you. And, but just I made it, I was very platonic in that text, you know? So that was fine. So
what's plutonic?
Platonic. That's just friendship.
Did you say plutonic?
Platonic.
Like, platonic.
Platonic. Yeah.
Okay. Just friendship. Like just friends. Just friends.
Oh, make sure like you just wanted to make sure that was out there. That it's very
set
like,
in the ground.
Yeah. Got it.
So,
first
of all, let me say I stalked her for real, like to find out before this text, like who is she? Oh, what's she about? So I seen that she is also, she has a really, really nice job for Reebok, but she is a DJ in a gay bar. So, and she's very proud of this lifestyle. What?
I'm going somewhere with this. Yeah.
So I'm a long talker and
I love it though.
But yeah. Okay, so, and I'm making this short too, guys. So I'm reading right now. Are you guys familiar with Jonathan Cahn?
No, I'm sure he is.
I've told you about him before. The year, the Shemitah year.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
Shema,
yeah.
However you say it. Okay, well, anyways. He's a Jewish rabbi, but he's Christian. And his book right now is The Spirit of the Gods. And it's all about like Ishtar, Baal, Moloch, how like those were the three main gods back in biblical times. And how basically all the spirits kind of come from them and how the sexual spirit of homosexuality and transgender and all this stuff is so prevalent today.
Mm-hmm.
And when it started, like it's always been there, of course, since Bible times.
Right.
But back in 1969 is when he used the word explosion of the spirit of the sexual spirits that started in New York City at a bar called Stonewall Inn.
And that's where she works?
That's where she works. And I didn't know this. So I meet her, I research her.
And you read
her.
The book before that?
No.
Okay.
I'm in the middle of reading the book. I was reading the book during this because it takes me, remember, months to read one book because I'm reading several.
That's right.
So I meet her, I find out this. I've never heard of the Stonewall Inn. I go through her pictures and I'm seeing, you know, her in this old bar and how proud she is of this. And I don't know, maybe a month later, I'm reading the book and he's talking about in 1969, there was an explosion in New York City with the Stonewall Inn. That was the first gay bar, da 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 da. And I'm like, wait, that's the bar she works at. Because if I didn't know anything about that, I would have just skimmed over that part. Like, I wouldn't have thought anything. I probably wouldn't remember the name of it.
Right.
But as soon as I read that, like, I felt the Lord, like, boom, like, speak to me like lightning in my bed.
That is so cool.
Saying, Shani, this meeting is not a coincidence and it's a bigger battle than what you know that I'm asking you to do. And so I was like, what the heck? So
I have goosebumps.
No, it is so weird. But on saying all that is to, I think that comes back to like the spiritual realm of things that he shows me. Like I didn't see in the spiritual realm, but
right.
That's where I'm really interested in. And that's where I think God is using me.
Mm-hmm.
So
I have two questions.
Yes.
So the first one is kind of off the subject, but on the subject, how do you stalk somebody?
Oh, that's easy.
I don't know if I use the right word.
Facebook.
Do
people do that? Like you look up other people and see all about
them? Yeah, I just Googled her name and it took me to, like, she was in the New York Post at one time.
Oh, wow.
It took me to several things. So I read up on her because I had a burden for her that I can't even explain. Like 24/7, this girl is on my mind. In fact, not last night, the night before I was, so for the last few nights, Buddy's back's been hurting. So he has been sleeping on the floor. I've been sleeping in the bed and it's been great.
Wait a second.
It's been wonderful.
His back's been hurting. So you put him on the floor?
He did it. He's like, I think I need like this hard floor. So.
And so, why is that wonderful?
I don't know. Just having the whole bed to myself. Yeah, like, it's great.
Space.
So, he asked me, not last night, but it was yesterday. He asked me, he's like, were you, I think you were talking in your sleep last night, which he's never said that before ever. And I don't ever recall talking in my sleep before. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, I woke up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and I heard you. And I said, what was I saying? And he said, I don't know. It was whispers. And all of a sudden I remembered that in the middle of the night, I was praying for this girl so strong. It was like, it was in between awake and sleep, you know?
Yep.
And so I was praying for her, but I never knew I was praying out loud. And I said, was I praying in English or what? And he's like, I don't know. It was just whispers. He's like, I couldn't hear. So he's like, I just assume maybe you were praying, but I didn't know if you were talking in your sleep. But I, like, when he told me that, like, I knew that that was my, I was praying very hard for her.
Right.
Because I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about her. Like, she's on my mind constantly, this, just this burden for her. And so back to how do I stalk somebody? The reason I did that is because she's always on my mind. So I just kept Googling her.
So if we typed in Jenny Walker on Google, like what the world would come up?
Probably my court records.
My case.
That is not going to come up.
Who knows?
Like if you just go in there and type it on, like it doesn't just tell you everything about
people. Usually Facebook would come up.
Yeah. Her Facebook came up.
That'd be the first thing that comes up is somebody's Facebook?
Oh, I don't know what the first was. I went, just kept going through.
It depends who you are. Like, I mean, if she's been in the paper and stuff, then that's going to be the first stuff that comes up.
That'd be interesting. I've never done that.
You can Google like your name and then see people that have your name.
No, if you put my name in, then it's the black ESPN commentator.
Really?
Mike Hill.
Oh.
The actual popular person. Like nobody.
Well, then you could just put Mike Hill, Huntington, Indiana.
I mean, you're popular.
Shut up.
You are. Seriously, you were on the Huntington's, whatever it was for Facebook group, the Huntington News Now. You were number 10 right below me and you got to the next round. So you say, yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Dude, mm-hmm. What are you even talking about?
So he does this thing at the end of the year.
Who?
Joey. Tackett. Yeah. Joey Tackett. Joey. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he runs Huntington News Now, which is like a news center, social media center for everything that goes on in Huntington.
Okay.
And every year he puts on like multiple people in Huntington that are not beneficial, but that have done something for the community.
Okay.
And you are on there.
What?
And you're like staying on there because he goes through rounds and you made it through the 20,
right.
Top 20 second, 20, top 22 or yeah.
How do you move
people,
on?
Votes.
People vote.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my.
But then ultimately it's his decision. So I don't really know, but yeah.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to for sure type in Jenny Walker at some point.
We'll have fun.
I want to be it. So all of our listeners should do that and send to the text group what they find.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
typed in Jenny and this is what we found on Google.
Do it.
Here was the other question. Mm-hmm. So the whole like releasing of the evil spirits, would that be a fair thing to say? The guy said in the 60s, there was this
explosion
of the demonic. Is that a fair way to put it?
Kind of. Yeah. I don't know how to, that's not exactly what he said. I'm just kind of using it in my
No, but he
terms.
Would say like, evil spirits? Like,
not evil spirits, but that particular homosexual spirit or sexual spirit.
Yeah, well, tell me how that works. Like, what does that mean? Because, I mean, I've heard this talked about before, but,
before that, it was still, of course, there was homosexuals, but it wasn't popular and it was kind of hidden.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, as time goes on, it's just more normal.
Well, wait. So back in biblical times, like you're talking about, so homosexuality wasn't hidden. Right? Like
no,
from a Christianity standpoint, it was not
they weren't
a part
proud
of,
them. Of it. I'm talking about before the 60s in America. I don't know about the Bible.
Oh, got it. So you're saying that in America,
that's what he was talking about. Like in America, like when it started becoming proud,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, that you were proud of that and not ashamed and not hiding it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know that's been around forever, but mm-hmm. I can't explain it like he was, but it was basically like that's when he's like, it all started with the Stonewall Inn. I don't know. Like, that is what stuck out to me, was that particular bar that I had just met somebody that works there.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah. So how, I guess this is part of what I want to ask you. Maybe this is something you can or can't delve into or dive into. How much of the spiritual realm has an effect on like what you're saying? So essentially, here's this bar in New York City, and it's that lifestyle celebrated. Is that because of the demonic? Like, are those people falling into that because of the demonic? Is it because I think
would say absolutely.
Okay. So you would say that the reasoning behind their choice of gender that they choose to be with is from a demonic spirit.
I mean, I guess everybody has their own thoughts on like, are you born this way or?
No, for sure. I mean, I'm just asking you as a general question.
I think
because
we're born into sin, so sin is from the demonic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think that, yeah, it's 100%.
Yeah.
Something to do with the demonic.
Yeah.
And is that something that you can see and feel, right? Like, so when you're a part of that, that's what I was trying to get to is like, so when you are, whether it's homosexuality or whether it's somebody living in sexual sin, whether it's somebody that's struggling with addiction, like that's something that you feel like from a gifting. If you would have met Jenny a long time ago when she was in it, right? Would you have been able to be like, I can see.
No, I'm not that good.
or feel.
Is no, not maybe? It's not all the time. Like, okay. It's only like when it's something's really heavy, or okay. I feel like it's, and I could be wrong, but I think God lets me feel it strongly when he's asking me to do something in that. Because okay. It's around us all the time. So it's not like I feel like it 100% sure. of the time.
No, but he reveals it to you when he wants you to respond.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because I feel like you meet people in addiction and things all the time, but there are certain people that I gravitate towards and mm-hmm. other people that I just don't. They might be the same, I don't know, being in the same type of addiction or something mm-hmm. in the same, I don't know, like the same seriousness of it. I don't
yeah,
know.
No, for sure.
So
yeah.
I don't want to act like I'm like this spiritual guru or I don't think it's not that. It's just what God uses me. And I finally have figured it out, I guess, because mm-hmm. I used right. to come to you years ago. Like, I don't know what to do with myself.
Right.
Like, I don't know what my gift is.
Right.
So I think it's just,
I didn't mean it that way. Like when I'm asking the questions, I don't think anybody listening is like, oh, I need to step in front of Shani and see whether or not I have the green yeah, orb no. or the black orb. Yeah. Like, no. I don't think yeah. anybody's
no.
thinking that, you know, yeah. I think more or less what I'm trying to get people to understand is that, so how does the spiritual realm fit in? Because that's always been interesting to me. You mm-hmm. know that. I mean, yeah. like, that's something that, you know, I'm passionate about is like, how does the spiritual realm affect, you know, decisions and things that are happening? Because I think it changes how you approach how to help that person.
Yeah, right. I think that if people, I mean, you've said it yourself, like if they could see right now what's going on in the spiritual realm, mm-hmm.
right.
like they would be shocked. So I think it affects everything all the time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that not everybody is aware of that.
Right.
So I don't know.
So are you going to stay in contact with this lady?
I'm going to try. I mean, I'm not going to purposely do it. I'm only going to let the Holy Spirit deal with me on that. Like if I need to contact her again, and I already feel like I know he's going to, I don't know when or how or where.
Okay.
Cause I've even thought, should I just go back to New York? Should I just, you know, say, hey, let's meet for lunch. Like, I don't know. I'm open to do anything because I feel like she is, oh, I feel like once she gets saved and I'm believing for it, that she's going to have a huge pull in her community.
Mm.
I really think that she's got something special.
Yeah. So talk about that. Do you feel promptings from the Holy Spirit a lot?
Yeah.
And is it because you act, this was a conversation we had Monday night at men's group when it talks about like, how do we build our faith? You know, so that, you know, Sunday, how do we get the faith that Mary had to be able to say like, hey, well, it starts with little decisions, and it builds up to faith. So one of the things we talked about is like, well, you got to listen to the Holy Spirit and do whatever he says. And somebody said the same thing. Well, if we do it more, you hear more. Is that your experience, that the more that you listened and did, the more that you hear? Like once you were obedient, or did you have, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I'm so disobedient. Like I'm, no, like I really am because I feel like he asks me to do stuff all the time. And I always think, oh no, was that God or was that me? Was that God or was it me? You know, like that kind of thing. Yes and no. I think when I started hearing it, so forever, I've always heard it, but I always would think, question that, was that my mind or was that God? Mm-hmm. And I remember several years ago, my daughter asking me, Mom, how do I know if it's me or God asking me to do something? And just out of conversation, I was saying, well, you know, the word says that his sheep know his voice. And I said, so the more time that you spend with him, you don't even question that. Mm-hmm. And then at that time, this conversation, I remember thinking to myself, oh my goodness, like in my head, I didn't say this out loud to her. I was like, now that I have been spending so much time with him, I've not even had to ask myself that, oh, is that my mind or is that God? Mm-hmm. So I think it comes down to not just being obedient, but spending time in his
being
word.
In relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can tell like if I am lazy on that a little bit, then no, I don't feel the promptings as much. Mm-hmm. And I don't have the boldness as much if I do feel them.
Okay. So for our audience, because
are you going to take it back?
Huh?
Are you going to take it back?
Go
I want to know, because you said you were raised Baptist. So were you, or was your faith as strong or how was your faith like growing up?
I want to say it was strong. It's kind of weird because I was always in church my whole life. I don't remember not going to church. I got saved like when I was 10 years old. I feel like I've always been a law-abiding Christian.
Are you from Huntington?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it wasn't until probably 10 years ago, 12 years ago, that I can truly say I had a relationship with God.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I do think I was saved, but, and that's kind of a fine line, but I feel like I was more of a Pharisee because I was doing all these right things and I was very judgmental on others if they weren't.
Yeah.
And my heart was so not right. Mm-hmm. Even though I was doing everything right on the outside, it looked like my cup was clean, but the inside it really wasn't because I was so judgmental. And
flipped the switch for you 10, 12 years ago?
Yeah. My aunt actually passed away. And it was one of the hardest things that I had ever went through in my life. And at that time, she was my great aunt. So she was actually like my grandmother. And ever since she was old when I was, well, she's probably in my age when I was born, but to me that was old.
Yeah.
And so I was always as a kid waiting for her to die. Like, I know it sounds really weird. And because I just thought, how am I going to live without her? She was like just my everything. And so when she died, it was the first time that I ever felt the true meaning of peace beyond your understanding. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's the first time that I had ever felt that. And so then heaven started, like I just started questioning more deeper about heaven and what's it like and about, does a death angel come? Like all these different things. So when I started, that's when I got in my word more, I think, to understand more about that. And then that just opened up everything. Cause I read the Bible front to back for, I don't know, several times, even being a teenager, but I didn't know what it said.
So you were prompted because somebody died to understand more about what happens after you die.
So like that hardest thing in my entire life that I ever went through was the biggest gift that I've ever gotten because it made the relation, like, made me realize I need a relationship and not just the religion part of it.
Yeah.
So that's.
Wow. So was Buddy from here too?
No.
How'd you meet Buddy?
My aunt is married to a man who has a brother that's married to Buddy's sister.
Wait, what? Your aunt is married to somebody. Wait, say that again.
My aunt's husband.
Okay.
His brother is married to Buddy's sister.
Whoa.
So yeah. So I've known him like my whole life.
Oh, wow.
Well, since I was probably 10 or something.
When did you guys get married?
25 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So the one thing that I was going to ask you, so if you're going to help people, right? So, because I think this is the biggest angst for people, like they struggle with this idea of, I want to hear from God. Mm-hmm. Why do you hear and I don't, right? Like that's so many people's questions is why can't I? It would be so much easier if God talks to me. So to the best of your ability, because we have about 10 minutes left, to the best of your ability, how does God speak? Is it audible? Is it a feeling? Is it a, like, help people get what, not that it's all the same, but how does
for
it,
me,
when you say, I hear God, is it an audible voice?
No, I've never heard it audibly. Okay. It's just, I want to say, I would explain it like a thought that's okay. not mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a thought would pop into your head and you're like, oh, I know that's from God.
I don't even know. Sometimes it's not even, sometimes it's a thought. And then mm-hmm. sometimes it's just like, I just automatically know something that okay. I wouldn't have thought of myself, or I wouldn't have known without, that I just didn't know before.
Like
when I was reading that book, a couple of weeks ago, and it said like the explosion was the Stonewall Inn, mm-hmm. just automatically, I felt like lightning hit my body. Like mm-hmm. I just kind of jerked. I probably like physically jerked.
Right.
And I just had the thought of God saying, and I don't know how I thought it was God, but him saying, this is a bigger battle than what you realize.
Right.
So yeah, it wasn't me. Like, I didn't think that.
Right. And that's what I'm trying to help people get. Like, I'm trying to help people understand that, because I mean, even I do this. I heard God say, you know, and so there are mm-hmm. a lot of people like, I don't hear God say anything, mm-hmm. you know? And so number one, how to discern. So you've talked about that. So it could be a thought. It could be a feeling. It could be like, you know, you get a feeling and then a thought comes mm-hmm. with it. And so to help people understand, I don't know that anybody's, because even when I say I heard God's plain as day, it's not that I heard an audible voice plain as day. It's just, I know for sure
yeah.
that's from right. God. There's no possible way that's from somebody mm-hmm. else. Right. So that to get them to understand what that's like, then is it helpful to position yourself in a certain way, do certain things, be a part of certain things to hear more from him? Like the more I do this, the more that I hear from God. Do you have any recommendations for our audience? Cause I know people are going to be like, I want to hear that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I want to know that when I'm going along and somebody says like, this. So what do you do, or what would you recommend to our viewers to do to help with that process?
I would say it would have to be reading the word, like really reading it. And what helped me was reading it chronologically. And I didn't even know that was a thing until like 8 or 10 years ago.
Okay.
And this is a funny story too. So this was right around the time my aunt passed away. I was doing a devotion in the morning and like on the Bible app, and it talked about this lady saying she couldn't ever understand, like really understand the Bible until she started reading it chronologically. And I was like, what? The Bible isn't even in chronological? Like, I didn't know that. I thought it was. Like, right. I'd never questioned that. And so I immediately called my mom that morning and I'm like, hey, do you have a Bible in chronological order? And she's like, nope. This particular day I was actually going to Fort Wayne, and this was when we still had Family Christian Bookstore. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to get a chronological Bible. And the night before this though, I had small group here with Jen and I missed it that night. And, so my girlfriend that I was meeting that was in the group with me, we met in Fort Wayne, and she said, oh, I have some papers from you, from Jen last night. And I was like, okay. And I never even mentioned anything to her.
It was the chronological
yes.
order.
Yes. And no. I had never heard of it until that morning. Like, I didn't go to small group that night. Oh, and before that, Jen never mentioned it to me.
Cool.
And so it was how to read the Bible in chronological order. Mm-hmm. So I remember I was like blown away.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, you know? And, so from that moment on, that was like in the winter, November or something. I started reading it in chronological order, and that's when I went to Florida. And then when I came home, that's when I started meeting with you, because I just had question after question reading it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that you said that I think also changed the way that I looked at it after, I think I was probably getting on your nerves with questions, is finally you were like, Shani, are you reading this for information or for transformation?
Right.
And I was like, oh, I think just information. Like, I didn't even think about it, letting it transform me. Right. I just wanted to know more. I was like a sponge. I just wanted to know everything about it. And that question just was like, no, now I've got to read it in a different light and let it transform me. And I think from that moment is when I just started going deeper into it.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And again, so from a resource standpoint, mm-hmm. how can somebody, if they want to try it, right?
Yeah.
Because there's multiple ways to read scripture. One of them for sure is read it chronologically.
Never
because it is
that.
Like a story, because the Bible is absolutely not chronological.
Yeah.
Right. And
yep.
so if you read it and you're trying to read it like a story would mm-hmm. be, it's for sure not, because it's not even in order.
Right.
You know? And so you could go to a bookstore, get a chronological or devotional chronological Bible.
Yeah, a chronological Bible. And I really think that having like a life application Bible or a study Bible that explains the verses like down in the footnotes, for me, that helps out tremendously. Mm-hmm. And I also have to have like an NLT or something because I'm just not that smart.
No, I think you're really smart.
No, like I
you just don't give yourself credit.
I don't understand some of the words or I just don't.
I don't think a lot
I don't know.
Do.
So I have to have like, and then on the Bible app, I haven't actually found a physical Bible that's called it easy to read. And it's basically like for a toddler, but I love it. It helps understand it so much better. And so,
okay.
I
so wait a second, say it again. So everybody can hear
it's,
this.
I think it's ERV, but just, it's
so
easy
you can
to
go
read.
On the Bible mm-hmm. app.
Yeah.
Right? And down, so if you go on the Bible app, there's a version
translation or
and
version.
That version is called what?
Easy to read. Huge difference for me.
I mean, and it, I feel like it makes it in today's terms.
And it does. And it also has like these little,
like, yo, Jesus.
not really that. But
yeah, I know.
They probably have one like that. Yeah, but they have these little, I call it the footnotes in, on the app that you can press on that King James Version doesn't have or any of the other versions that I found that will explain like this is not even in the Hebrew and Greek. They just found this, I don't know, in like 3 years ago or something like I, it's something else that explains that verse.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I like
so
that.
So one of the advantages, so Jenny or Nick can put this out there. If you've never downloaded the Bible app, right, Nick? I mean, we're on the same page, right? So it's not called the Bible app. What's it
called?
YouVersion.
YouVersion.
YouVersion. Yeah. So they go on there and if you're listening and mm-hmm. you don't have the YouVersion Bible app, maybe Nick or Jenny could put you a link because again, some people want a physical Bible and people still have a physical Bible and it's awesome. Like I love still having a physical
Me
Bible,
too.
But there are things on the app mm-hmm. that you're just not going to get.
Right.
Like the way that the app operates and the things that are there. Just like, you know, Nick and Jenny and Corinne, like the creative team came up with this Bible study to do together. And again, it's like all of these people, 150, 60, 70 plus, do you know, I'm 200, Nick?
We're over 200 now.
Okay, yeah, so 200 people, you know, on there. And when they're talking, you know, they're communicating. Like when you comment, you mm-hmm. can be a part of a bigger community.
Yeah.
Right? So there are things that you can do to hear other people's perspective that you can get done on a Bible app that you can't get done,
right?
You know, anywhere else. So, I mean, I think that's the, you know, important part about having both. You can go on and do a different version, you know, look at it in a different way and... Yeah. So.
And they also have a plan that's in chronological order if you don't want to go buy a Bible.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
It's just a plan on there.
Right. So which, do you use the Bible app much?
I do for like, I'm in like that devotion mm-hmm. with the church and with several other ladies, like three or four different ones, but that's the only thing I use it for.
Right.
And so when I'm doing the devotion, but I like my physical Bible, like, I don't know. That's mm-hmm. just what I prefer.
Yeah.
Something to mark up, write in.
Yeah.
Do all of those things. Yeah. Okay. So we're at the end. Can you believe that, Shani? You were worried. Look at all that stuff you had to talk about. So we've got questions for you, which we didn't even go over.
We did not. So this is
It might be questions for Natasha since
that is true.
Since Jenny sent out Natasha's picture.
No, that is true. Because I made sure that I corrected myself.
Okay.
Oh, I do want to add though, also about when you're reading the Bible, I think if you look up a lot of the Hebrew and Greek meanings to different words. Like it's like hidden gems in the Bible to me. Like it takes you so much deeper and you can understand things so much better because they might use a word that we use and it only means one thing in American, but in Hebrew, it can mean like several. And so you have to understand where they're coming from, the writer.
Right. And so if somebody wanted to do that, how are they going to do it?
Google. I mean, you can get like the Strong's app or something like that, but I just like Google it.
Right.
Wow. All right.
Okay. Questions.
First question is from Caitlin Griffith. She says, first, I love your name, but what is your favorite herb for skincare? I'm really excited for this question.
Wait a second. You sell herbs for skincare?
No, I love like herbs and natural remedies to things instead of like pharmaceuticals.
Okay.
You know what is really sad is I don't know because as natural as I put stuff in my body, the better the chemicals on the outside.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Like I will
natural
not.
Natural and cover up can be all kinds of toxins.
Yes. No, I will not take any more vaccines. Like I'm totally against vaccines. Like I don't vaccinate my kids anymore. shoot me up with some Botox. I don't know what's in that. I'm fine with it. I'm fine. So yes. I don't know.
Oh man. Yeah.
Wait a second. This is so funny. You got to say that one more time. I'm not getting any vaccine, but.
Cause I don't know what's in them.
Right.
But I will get Botox with it. It is a toxin.
Because you know what's in it.
No, I don't. And I don't care.
But
you don't care.
But I don't care what happens. It's a good thing that happens.
Yeah. I don't know what in 50 years it's going to do to me, but right now but I'm fine.
Right
with
now
it.
It's good. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm sorry.
Hey,
I don't
so
know.
Your best remedy for natural skincare, Botox.
Yep. Botox. It's, yeah. There you go.
Sorry.
There you go.
I love it. All right. Emily Krieger, growing up in Huntington, where did you find your favorite place to be? How did you revisit that nostalgia with your own children with the changes Huntington has made since you were a child?
Wow.
I love that question.
Wow. Yeah. Seriously. What was your favorite part about Huntington growing up?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I can't even revisit it because it was cruising. Like they don't have that now. Like
wait,
that,
what?
Cruising.
Cruising.
Yes.
Like the car?
Cruise. Yeah. Like cruising.
Like driving around?
Yeah. We
but
would
you
just
drove
drive.
A certain
do you remember that, Nick? Like, were you, Nick. Are you from Huntington?
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, so that was my favorite.
There was a cruising lap, and then where did everybody hang out?
Like commercial credit, which is like where Walgreens is. Okay. Well, we had different, like Penguin Point was like the Hicks.
Penguin Point, forgot about that.
Yeah, like there was different places for different groups, but yeah, so I hung out at commercial credit.
Yeah, so everybody went to Decatur and cruised, and then they would stop at the McDonald's or one other place.
Yep.
There's a stop on one end of town
yep.
and a stop on the other end of town.
Yep.
Yeah, where you do
that
it.
Was
so
my
cruising.
Favorite thing. Yeah.
Why don't you bring it back?
I tried.
You did?
I, like when my daughter was 16, I'm like, just try it. And she's like, no. But like, I feel like there was nothing, like there wasn't, sometimes I mean, maybe kids were drinking or something, but there was nothing bad.
About
that was,
cruising.
Yeah, everything was out in the open.
Yeah.
Like I didn't, at least with the group that I hung out with, like there really wasn't anything so bad
right.
that it was just hanging out with your friends.
Yeah, awesome.
Okay, so you back to that. You're really driving? Like is there like a road that you would go to?
Well, there's a road.
Because I cruise, but I don't think it was your cruising.
There's a certain lap that you follow, and everybody does it, and you just keep driving that
around
same
and around. But
lap.
Listen, gas was like 97 cents back then.
Yeah, what do you mean, why?
I mean, you're just following
and you
each
have
other?
No, yeah, and you put speakers in your car.
Yeah,
so everybody can listen?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah. you just keep the windows rolled down, and you drive slow, and then yeah,
okay.
like that was the that yeah. was my funnest memory.
And then you all stop at like
different places
times.
And
you'll
talk.
Stop and then hang out for a while, and then you get back on the lap.
And I will tell you, back then we had payphones; we didn't have cell phones. And when I would be grounded and I couldn't go cruising, and I didn't want people to forget about me, I would call the payphone at commercial credit because everybody was always there. And I'm like, hey, is Shani Stanley out there? Yeah, and then like, Shani Stanley here. Just
you,
my name was out there. Like, no,
you can
she's not
do
here,
that?
Sorry.
You can call a payphone?
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did not know
yeah.
that. Call the commercial credit payphone.
That's what I did, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So there were payphones in Huntington?
Yeah.
So there was one at commercial credit. Where at? Where else?
They had a phone booth, like by, I don't know if it was JCPenney's or somewhere.
Yes, like Superman booth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
They
That's
were all over.
Crazy.
Nostalgia,
okay.
Jenny.
Yes. So you tried to get your daughter to do it, but
yeah,
she said
she's
no.
Like, no.
Shani, how old are you?
How old do I look? Is the Botox working?
It is. Yes.
I'll be 44.
Okay.
All right. Next question from Alex Pope. How did you learn Greek and Hebrew?
Oh, I don't learn it. I don't know it. I just like to study the words, but I can't speak it.
But through Google too?
Yeah.
Like,
Google.
Yeah. All right. Lisa Freeman says, how long have you been into the natural approach? Does that include essential oils? I'll ask a couple of questions at a time. There's multiple.
Okay. No, I've not really got into the essential oils. I mean, I've tried them, but I didn't stick with them. Probably since I had kids. So my daughter's 21. I'd say it started around then.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So do you
well,
eat
well,
like,
no, I take it back.
Food?
When I was single, I mean, like, teenager, I would go get my eyes read from Violet Lewis and like she'd tell me what's going on in my body. And so I took herbs. So now I guess almost my whole life.
You never had your eyes read?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Why did I look, have a weird face or something? I'm just so interested.
Yeah. So now I guess my whole life.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is there certain food you won't eat?
Yeah. Are you a vegetarian or a vegan?
No.
No.
Mm-mm. No, I eat everything.
Okay.
So it's just, what is it then that the herbs, like, okay, what kind of herbs?
depends on what's going on with my body.
Okay. Oh, so it's like specifically for?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Like look at your eyes and you need to get rid of something. So take this herb.
Oh, is it like how people put something on the bottom of their feet when they sleep?
Yeah.
An onion or potato or something?
Yeah. I tried to do that with my son, my youngest, couple of weeks ago around Thanksgiving.
Really?
In Louisiana. Yeah. And he was sick. And so I got a potato, put it in a sock and it didn't work.
Really, I did try.
That was a good try.
It was a good try. All right. She has multiples in this questions. She says, and what made her get into reading the Bible in Greek and Hebrew? And when did you do that?
I probably only started that, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago. Like, and just because the Jewish culture amazes me, mm-hmm. because Jesus was a Jew. So like, that's what I wanted to research about him. Yeah. And so that's what I guess made me interested in his words. And I'm going to Israel in October. So I'm so excited.
Wow. Yes. Ooh, that is exciting. Yes. All right. Lisa Leist says, no worries. She's responding to my picture sent out when I was like, my bad. Okay. She said she loves both of these girlies. Who is the most influential woman in your life from the Bible? P.S. I miss your smile. You look stunning.
Oh, I love her.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
I thought that was such a good question.
I always gravitate towards men in the Bible. I don't know why, but
okay,
I guess your favorite man.
Yeah, David.
No questions. I can't wait to meet him. Yeah.
Why David?
Because I feel like I can relate to him because he makes some stupid choices, but no matter what, like he loves God above everything else. Yeah. Mm.
Good.
That is a great question.
That's awesome.
Our answer.
Is that it?
Yes, that's it.
Okay. So end us up, Jenny. Yep.
All right. So the number that I'm about to give you, why do I do this every time?
It doesn't matter. Just keep going.
So
you're good.
I send out a text every week with letting you know who it is. Hopefully I have the right picture of the person, but we want you to ask questions for the person that's coming on. And anything else, like if you know somebody that wants to be a guest on the podcast, if you have a question from something else that you want to ask, if you have a comment, if you have a challenge.
Oh, yeah. So anything. That might be the new segment.
Yeah. New segment. Challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it used to be you did some weird things, but you haven't done it for a long time.
I know. That was fun. We need to bring that back.
Like eat hot sauce or hot something, or I ain't doing any of them. So.
Come on.
Bring Lisa back on and do like a workout challenge. She's a beast.
Yes. That would be really fun.
That would be cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then you would see somebody be rolling me over trying to get the puke out of my mouth.
Yeah. But that would be the part that we would enjoy. But yeah, we just want you to text the podcast and be not in conversation with us, but we want you to be a part of this as well. Yeah. So text podcast to 260-408-8383.
Yeah. Awesome. And Shani, thank you again. It's been fun. I think it's been a lot of years. You said you couldn't remember when you came.
I mean, it's been a long time. It's been a long time. 12. I don't know.
Yeah. So they've been for a long time and been cool to see you guys in your journey and your family and just, yeah, I think your whole family's awesome. Like the incredible things you guys are doing. And yeah. And I think it's neat to see how God's using you, mm-hmm. you know, and those stories that you could say, you know, talk about of how, he can speak to you. And I just thank you for sharing that with everybody and that everybody can learn from that and that we can all, cause we're all, whether, you know, it's a gifting that you can, you know, discern certain things, but we all want God to be like, speak to me,
tell me,
help me. And so great advice today on all of us to be able to, how to stay grounded and in the word and in relationships so we can all hear, you know, from him. So keep praying for her. I don't know what to call her, the New York lady. pray for the New York lady and just everything that you're doing. So Shani, thanks for coming on. Yep. Everybody, thanks for joining us. Don't forget to share, like, subscribe. Again, comment on the post that Jenny puts out so we can continue to get this podcast out to many people. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.